As we get ready for Easter, we get ready for Jesus. As we get ready for Easter, we get ready to speak Jesus into this world. But today I want to talk to you about a secret that Jesus is going to reveal for us. A secret of Easter. It has to do with a kernel of wheat. And Jesus uses this metaphor, this analogy, to help us understand a secret. The secret of multiplication. Of how do we change this world? How do we influence this world? How do we transform this world? We're going to be walking through the Gospel of John this Easter. You know how every Easter we walk through Holy Week with Scripture? We're going to walk through the Gospel of John this year. And the Gospel of John is so powerful. The Gospel of John is otherworldly, supernatural, spiritual. So as we walk through the Gospel of John, we're going to see Jesus in everything we do. So today I'm going to read from John 12, verse 20 through 26. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. The festival we're talking about is Passover. And during Passover, all the people would come from all the different lands to Jerusalem to celebrate the Exodus. The Exodus when God took all the people, all the Israelites, out of Egypt and brought them into the Promised Land. But there were some Greeks among those, not Israelites, not the Jewish. There were some Greeks that were kind of curious about what's going on with everything, all this festivity. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival, the next verse. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Now, isn't this remarkable? These Greeks, these outsiders, these other people are asking to see Jesus. Isn't that like today? Aren't there a lot of people out there right now wanting to see Jesus? All around us, in the stores, in the shopping malls, in our neighborhoods, can you imagine somebody coming up to you and saying to you, "Hey, I'd like to see Jesus"? What would you say to them? How would you help them find Jesus? I have to think, first of all, maybe you would just say, "Hey, let me introduce you to my friend, Jesus. Let me tell you about what Jesus did in my life." That's our testimony, right? Let me show you a way to Him. Maybe you'd invite Him into a church. I implore you, invite some people in this Easter, especially people who have not seen Jesus yet, or who are kind of searching for Jesus. Because if you look at this passage, they came to Philip, and Philip has seen Jesus. And they say, "Hey, we heard about, you know, this guy named Jesus, and we want to see Jesus." Now, what do you think Philip said to them? I think Philip said, "Hey, come with me. Let me give you an introduction. Let me show you Jesus." We talked the other week about knowing Jesus. About really knowing Him. Well, Philip walked with Him. Philip knew Jesus. Philip was walking with Him in the flesh. So he's going to literally take this guy and go see Jesus. Next verse. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. So you see what's going on here is a partnership. So Philip goes and finds somebody else who knows Jesus as well, and he says, hey, I got this guy, and he wants to see Jesus. You know, sometimes we need a little help from one another. We need a little help to lead them to Jesus. Maybe there's two testimonies going on here. Maybe there's two people leading this guy over. And in turn, they told Jesus. So Philip tells Andrew, and Andrew and Philip, they tell Jesus that, hey, this guy wants to see you. How cool is that? Could we maybe replicate that process? Remember, we're talking about the secret of multiplication here. How do we replicate Jesus? You know, we were just singing about, I speak Jesus. How do we speak Jesus?
By prayer.
By prayer. How do we speak Jesus?
By praise.
How do we speak Jesus?
By our lives.
By our lives, by our actions. By every movement we make. How do we speak Jesus?
His love.
His love. How do we speak Jesus to a complete stranger who wants to see Jesus but hasn't seen Jesus? How do we speak Jesus into this life? I'll tell you the first thing I would do, and I've learned this the hard way, is I wouldn't come up with my own plan. I wouldn't try to figure it out. I would spend about 5 seconds. And I would say, hey, dear Holy Spirit, would you please speak to this individual? Let's just call him John. Will you please speak to John? And dear Holy Spirit, would you have John and me hear what you have to say? And I'll tell you, I've done this. And I'm amazed at what the Holy Spirit says. Because first of all, he says, Tom, you just be quiet. Tom, you don't speak. Let me speak. And then he speaks through my voice, he speaks through me, and he says what that person needs to hear at that moment. Because I could come up with all kinds of stuff, but it would probably be way off track. I don't know what this person needs. These Greeks wanted to see Jesus. And so instead of Philip and Andrew just going on and on about Jesus, what do? They take him to Jesus. They take him to the source. Do you know that we can take people to the source? I mean, Jesus might not physically be sitting right here, but Jesus is really, really close. And I can take people to Jesus too. Especially if I let the Holy Spirit help me a little bit, continuing. Jesus replied, not Philip and not Andrew. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He's giving a little preview here. They bring this guy to Jesus, and this guy says, I want to see Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus is sitting there saying, you know, hey, it's time for me to be glorified. What do you think this guy, this Greek, is thinking? I think he's kind of puzzled. But, you know, Jesus does that. And he gets our attention. He makes us a little puzzled, a little curious. I'll tell you, a great word is curious. Oh, if you get somebody curious, you got their attention. If you get somebody curious, you got them ready. If you get somebody curious, they're eager to learn. Jesus replied, the hour has come, meaning the time has come, meaning the moment is here, the time has come, the moment is here, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. How? I guess if I was one of those Greeks, I'd be wondering, like, well, first of all, what is he talking about? And how is he going to be glorified? And what does this glorification look like? Let's continue. Very truly, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now, this is actually a miracle. This is actually a miracle of nature. You know when you see a whole forest of trees? You know how they got there? They got there with one tree, one seed that started this tree, and this tree started dropping seeds. We were in Yellowstone and Sequoia, and you know the seeds there are huge. They're big. They're like this big. You know, they're like half the size of your arm. And they drop all over the place, and they lose all the seeds inside that big kernel, and all these other trees are planted. And before you know it, you have a whole forest of trees. That's the way nature works it. When a tree drops all these seeds or all this fruit, it reproduces. And that's what Jesus is talking. If you have a kernel of wheat and you put it in a jar and you just look at it every day, if you go back there in a week, what do you think you're going to see? A seed. If you go back there in a month, what do you think you're going to see? Same thing, you know, it's just that same seed. If you keep it isolated and it stays in that jar for 3 years, what do you think you're going to see when you go back up on that shelf other than a whole bunch of dust on that jar? The same seed. But if that seed falls into the ground, and mind you, if it falls into the ground, it has to die. Because that's part of that germination process here, that the seed goes into the ground and it dies. He says, very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed like that seed in the jar. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And it produces many seeds because when it becomes a tree, it drops more seeds all over the place, and before you know it, you have a forest. And Jesus is using this as an analogy, as a metaphor. Actually, he is giving a prediction. He's talking about himself. He's talking about Easter. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about when the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit embodies every believer. He's talking about all of that and more, continuing. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, I have to imagine these Greeks are just like Kevin, scratching their head and trying to figure out what in the world is Jesus talking about. First, he's talking about I'm going to be glorified, and they're like, I just want to meet the guy, and he's talking about being glorified, and then he's talking about this kernel of wheat, and he's talking about the wheat's got to die so that the seeds can make more wheat, and now he's talking about my life, and if I try to hang on to it too much, too tight, I'm going to lose it. I gotta think that the Greeks are thinking, I'm losing it right here trying to understand this guy. What is he talking about? But remember that Jesus has got them curious. Jesus has got their attention. And he may not even give them the answer right now. They are in right now at the festival of Passover, which is another miracle when God got everybody out of Egypt. And he parted the Red Sea when all the Egyptians came after all the Israelites, and they're all celebrating that they've been rescued. So all this is going on inside these Greeks' minds. And I think they've seen a little bit. They've heard a little bit. But now they're actually talking to Jesus, and he's trying to give them these profound mysteries, these profound secrets, the secret of multiplication, of how he is going to die, and he's going to multiply in all these people who believe on him. He's preparing them. And in fact, he's preparing us right now. He's preparing us right now for Easter. So I want you to take this in. Not just as a stranger who somebody's introduced you to Jesus, but as somebody who already knows Jesus, about this mystery, about that you have to die, that you have to lose your life in order to gain it. This idea that in order for you to multiply, you have to let go of everything you want and cherish, and God will give you more. Continuing. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So Jesus is spelling it out for us. He's actually showing us that first and foremost, we need to be approachable. We need to be like Andrew and Philip. If somebody comes up to us and wants to see Jesus, we need to be approachable. I always talk about, like, we can't be holier than thou. Like, you know, like, hey, I know Jesus and you don't, get away. We've got to be approachable. Hey, I know Jesus, and I want to introduce you to my friend. Which brings us to the second thing. Is not only do we need to be approachable, we need to give an introduction. I'm with my disciple-making group all the time, and I tell them, you know, look, this is easy. We make this way too hard. We make this way too hard about doing a little bit of evangelism or witnessing or sharing or whatever word you want to call it. About sharing Jesus. We make it way so difficult. We put all this pressure on ourselves that we have to say the right thing and do the right thing and have the right result. When really all it is an introduction. If you look at this passage, that's all they're doing. They're taking these Greeks and they're saying, hey, this is Jesus. Let Jesus talk to you. And even though it sounds a little puzzling what Jesus is saying to them, it's working. They're getting curious. And he's giving them profound mysteries. And actually, Andrew and Philip are kind of sitting there and listening in and taking in what Jesus is saying. Because Jesus is not just talking to the Greeks. He's talking to his disciples, too. He's trying to let them know what's going to happen next. And then when we do talk to Jesus, when we do have the Holy Spirit helping us, because remember, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit, hey, dear Holy Spirit, how about you speak, and I'll be quiet here, and dear Holy Spirit, have them hear and have me hear what you have to say. I've said some of the most off-the-wall things. I have said things that I came out of there, and I said, well, that's not going to work. That wasn't even that good. I mean, it was truth, but it really wasn't profound or anything. And this person just responds like you would believe. And I'm like, really? I could have done better than that, but I couldn't have done better because the Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit did it. These Greeks are listening to every word from Jesus. They understand about reincarnation, and they understand about things dying, coming back to life. They got the wrong idea, and Jesus is setting them on their heels on all of that. They're thinking, they're getting curious, and then he talks about serving him. And believe me, he's also talking to Philip. And he's talking to Andrew about whoever serves me, whoever follow me. So really, it's quite simple. We need to be approachable so somebody can come and talk to us. We need to do an introduction. We need to let the Holy Spirit speak. We need to let Jesus, let them see Jesus. That will be enough. Like what I'm saying here is all we have to do is do an introduction and then God will take it from there. And we have to do a little follow-up and make sure that they know Jesus. So we have to introduce them. And then we need to multiply. We need to multiply because we've introduced them to Jesus. He'll do the multiplication thing. That's what I've been trying to tell my group. You don't have to do the work. The results are not in your hands. It's not up to you to try to convince somebody or persuade somebody or give them all this proof. All you got to do is do an introduction. And Jesus will multiply the disciples. And then we are just called to serve. We're just called to follow him and serve him. As we come into Easter, I want us to go into Easter with an attitude of serving. As we celebrate Maundy Thursday, when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and Peter says, I don't want you washing my feet. You're better than me. You shouldn't be washing my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to be clean. And then Peter gets the idea, like, oh, okay, well, you know what? Hey, start washing the rest of me then, man. I got a lot of problems going on. Ever have a lot of problems going on? You need Jesus to wash all of them off? And Peter says, and Jesus says to Peter, no. The feet are enough. You're already clean. He actually tells him in the gospel. I'm telling you, the Gospel of John is so profound. He says, you're actually clean because of the word I've given you. You're actually clean because of the word. Because I spoke some of me into you. I spoke some Jesus into you. You are cleansed because of my word. I'm telling you, words are powerful. That's what Jesus is speaking. They're clinging to every word he says. And he's just telling them to follow him. I'm trying to tell you the same thing I'm telling my disciple makers. All we got to do is follow Jesus. All we got to do is let the Holy Spirit speak. All we got to do is open up our mouth and give a little introduction, and our job is done. As we go into Easter, I want us to invite some people into Easter. I want some people invited into our lives. I want some people invited into our homes. I want some people invited to meet Jesus. We talked the other week about knowing Jesus. We just have to do an introduction to him. And then we will see multiplication. Because Jesus is saying, look, on Easter, I'm going into the ground. Matter of fact, it was even predicted I'm going into the ground for 3 days. Exactly 3 days. And then I'm going to be raised, resurrected. And then in the book of Romans, Paul teaches us that we die with Christ and we are raised with Christ. We are that seed that has multiplied. You see where Jesus is headed here, right? We are that seed, not in that jar. We are that seed that went into the ground and died and multiplied. And now we are just simply called to serve. So I'm just going to leave you with this. How will you serve? This week, how will you serve? This week in your speech, in what you say, how will you serve? This week in your actions, in your prayers, in your in the word, how will you serve? This week as you come across your neighbor who's hurting, how will you serve? This week, as you look at this world that's going crazy in Palestine and Israel and Russia and Ukraine, and we haven't even talked about China or North Korea yet, or even here in the United States, how will you serve? I'll tell you one thing you can do. Regardless of your age, regardless of your ability, regardless of your mobility, regardless of anything, Pray. Pray. Pray for this world. Pray for the people who don't know Jesus, the Greeks, the outsiders. Pray for your family. Pray for yourself to have revelation. You know, one of the most powerful times in this church is when we pray. And we ask for 100% healing, 100% restoration, and we see it. Not every time. Sometimes God has a different plan, a better plan. But we will pray until the last moment, every time. We are to introduce Jesus, we are to be multiplied, and then we are to serve. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you make it easy. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us your profound word. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you that you can speak instead of us. We thank you, dear Father God, that you have made this so simple. May we have the boldness, the courage, the fortitude to be like Andrew and Philip and introduce our best friend, to introduce our Lord and Savior, to introduce Jesus to this world. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Can we speak some Jesus
we've got some opportunity here in both the physical and the spiritual, in individuals, in neighborhoods, in countries, and in the world. We have some opportunity and in ourselves to speak some Jesus this week. I'll tell you one way we can do it is invite somebody to Easter. Have a little conversation. Can I introduce you to my friend? We need this in this day and age more than ever. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your Son. May we speak him into this world. May we speak him into our lives. May we speak him into our family. May we speak him from the mountains. May we speak him over the darkness. May we give light into this world. May we seek out those who do not know him and just do a little introduction. So, dear Father God, as we get ready for Easter, we get ready for your Son. We get ready for your miracle. And we're ready to be changed and transformed and to speak out and to follow and to serve. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Amen.